Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for you take it.
So you should really not even start to recite those things if you're not sure you can. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of broadcasters are back in business. It's a return to normalcy. Just a week after I sat in the dark, in the middle of the night in Melbourne, Australia, and questioned whether everything has changed. In today's Washington Post, Michael Kinsley says, well, maybe everything hasn't changed. Maybe surprisingly little has changed. We're going to examine that today. As you know, a lot of the late-night broadcasters returned to the air this week. Racked with a certain amount of, guilt, insecurity, questioning over whether they even should be doing that. And chief among them was David Letterman, who came back on the air, and although I don't have the exact quote or the tape here, I believe said something to the effect of, if you live to be 1,000 years, you'll never understand why somebody did something like this. Referring to the terrorist act. Now, please don't get me wrong. And I'm pleased to say that so far nobody's gotten me wrong. But please continue not to get me wrong. But there is a big difference between saying that these actions in New York and Washington were unjustifiable, inexcusable, totally beyond the pale of civilized behavior as even nation states presume to practice it. Between that, saying that on the one hand, and saying on the other hand that these acts were incomprehensible. They're not excusable, they're not justifiable, they're not explainable. But, there is a history. You can go back, there were the Crusades. There's been undemocratic regimes throughout the Middle East supported by the United States government for probably very good reasons at one point or another. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying there's stuff. There's stuff. And, all of us who have access to these microphones and airwaves have a responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it's a responsibility to be irresponsible, to just not care, to go over the line. And sometimes it's a responsibility to be more responsible than the people in power who are too busy seeming serious to actually be responsible. So, if you're feeling bad about being back on the air, two alternatives would present themselves, it seems to me. Either just be silly and get on with it, or take another week off and read up. But just don't be encouraging any more ignorance than we already got. Hello, welcome to the show. Why does my heart
why does my soul feel so bad? Why does my heart feel so bad? Why does my soul? Why does my soul Why does my soul feel so bad?
There are not words to speak of. There are not words to say. There are not songs to sing. We all have those terrible days when you can't seem to make it out your own front door, and life seems to get in your way. And is it any wonder that sometimes it's easier to hide under the covers? When somebody calls you and they say they understand, it's like a hand across the water. the water. Sister, brother, father, mother, you are. And you turn me around. You turn me around. And we all have those terrible times when you want something so hard your insides ache, and you try to eat your breakfast but there's tears on the flakes. And is it any wonder that sometimes it's easier to cry than to recover? So when somebody calls you and they say they understand, it's like a hand across the water. A hand across the water. Sister, brother, father, mother, you are. And you turn me around. Turn me around. You know that I like it. Don't ever, ever have to stop and think about it, darling. Oh, I could never, ever, ever live without it. No. Cause we all have those terrible days when you try to be strong but you're shaking inside, and you'd like to be a grown-up but you feel more like, you feel more like a marvelous child, darling. And is it any wonder somebody calls you and they say they understand, it's like a hand across the water. A hand across the water. Sister, brother, father, mother, you are. And you turn me around. Sister, brother, father, mother, you are. Your sister, brother, father, mother, you are. You're a hand across the water. And you turn me around. You know, you turn me
from the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show. For what day would this be? Is there anything that says that? Just, you know, for you to September 23. Interesting. Okay, so what's changed? First of all, I mentioned last week how sometimes it's difficult to know that you're not in the United States. Sometimes it's difficult to know that you're in, let's say, in Australia. Even though, of course, they took this whole thing a little bit differently, but they feel in the crosshair a little bit themselves. But just should you find yourself in Australia and want to look for telltale signs in case you're not sure, these would be two tip-offs. One, it's not Claritin down there; it's Claritine. It's actually spelled differently. It's spelled Claritine. So don't ask for Claritin. As for Claritine. And the other tip-off is that the self-help guru, Tony Robbins, is known down there as self-help guru Anthony Robbins. So those would be the two ways you know you're in Australia. Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned last week my interest in our seeming compulsion to repeatedly lose our innocence, or at least believe that we keep losing it. About every 10, 20 years, we've lost our innocence again. Rolled under the bed there somewhere. One more thing that we're bidding farewell to, along with our innocence, according to CNN, this was on the, I don't know what it referred to. You know, all the news channels now are, in addition to the stories that are actually covering at the moment, they have a crawl at the bottom of the screen, a horizontal scroll with some headlines, and then above that is just a little block with a really cryptic headline that may or may not refer to any story that you'll ever see on the air. And so it was, I think, Friday night, CNN had this in that block, and I never heard any reference to it, but they just put this up on in letters for us to contemplate while contemplating. I don't think they put anything up for us to contemplate, actually, to tell you the truth. Take that back. For us to absorb. Let's be more realistic. Anyway, this was what it said. Quote, America's carefree lifestyle may be at an end, unquote. This reminds me of adults thinking back with no memory attached to childhood as a carefree time. Man, I remember having all sorts of cares when I was a child. They may, to an adult, seem trivial and inconsequential, but not to a child. They seem utterly worrisome and bothersome. And so America's, you know, I kind of remember America before September 11th. And by the way, my apologies for getting the date wrong last week. I was ad-libbing and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, I do remember America before September 11th. I remember the communities that we built with gates and walls. Those aren't the communities of a carefree lifestyle, are they? Are they now? All right, everything's changed, but some things remain the same. Dateline Ottawa. Canadian government officials said they were unhappy that U.S. President George W. Bush had failed to mention Canada in a major speech thanking Washington's allies for their support. You see, they're still under the belief that they're a separate country, and this would be the cause of their unhappiness. Canada, which in many ways is Washington's closest ally, was not among the many nations which Bush on Thursday said had either backed Washington after last week's deadly attacks or had lost citizens. It's raised a lot of eyebrows here. We are disappointed, one senior official told Reuters. Canada took in around 250 airliners after U.S. airspace was closed. Many Canadians lined up to give blood. Critics said Bush was clearly criticizing what they described as tepid response by Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien, who has kept a low profile since the attacks. Bush snubs us, bellowed the sole front page headline in the Toronto Sun, a right-wing tabloid. No one was immediately available in Chrétien's office to comment on Bush's speech. A Canadian foreign ministry spokesman denied Ottawa felt slighted. Chrétien has refused to say definitively whether Canada would participate in any military action against international terrorism, said the leader for the opposition. What goes around comes around. Foot dragging has a price. No, sorry, he said what comes around goes around. That's the Canadian version of it, I guess. He continued, the United States has a fire and they want us to have a bucket. They don't want us just to send a condolence card. Ottawa, unquote. Ottawa was also possibly paying the price for not committing itself to Washington's proposed anti-missile defense shield and for not cracking down on allegedly lax security and immigration policies, which critics say has turned Canada into a haven. Well, if they've got lax security and immigration policies, they really are the 51st state. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you're still there. Okay. Actress Alexandra Wentworth. Yes, some things are back to normal. Hot Property is back actress Alexandra Wentworth, fiancée of ABC political commentator George Stephanopoulos, has listed her Sunset Strip area home at $1.75 million. "I'm selling the house and moving to New York because I'm getting married," Wentworth said. The wedding is scheduled. Wentworth has owned her home for almost 2 years. She renovated the house built in the 50s. "I don't want to sell it, but it's too big to be a pied-à-terre." It would be a pied-à-torso, perhaps. It would be that big. "It's 4 bedrooms, 4 1/4 baths, and slightly more than 4,000 square feet." So fours are wild. The master suite has a fireplace, sitting room, and city views. Sitting room and city views, not city room. That would be a newspaper. The Mediterranean-style home also has a pool, spa, and guest house. Or, as we say, gasthaus. Oscar-winning singer-actress Shirley Jones and her husband, producer Marty Ingalls, have sold their longtime Beverly Hills home for $2.5 million. They've purchased an Encino home behind gates, there's that carefree lifestyle, for $1.2 million, sources said. So that's the property. It is kind of hot. Kerry Quinn Dolan, who played Laura Bush in the Comedy Central sitcom That's My Bush, has purchased a home in the West Adams area for about $400,000. Star of a canceled show, ladies and gentlemen. Hot property for your listening pleasure. Okay, some things haven't changed. Cellular phones may cause damage to health by speeding up the brain's response times, a British scientist told a conference this past Friday. As consumer concerns mount that prolonged cell phone use could lead to problems ranging from headaches to tumors, a recent study showing alarming rate of brain cancer in some cell phone users is helping to swing scientific opinion in Britain. Dr. Alan Preece, not Alan Price, Dr. Alan Preece, head of biophysics at Bristol Oncology Center, is among a group of scientists becoming increasingly convinced that radiation from cell phones triggers chemical processes in the body that may be harmful. Six separate studies now indicate response times, brain response times, speed up when people are exposed to radio frequency signals from mobile phones. Yeah, speeding your brain up is bad. Talk about mixed messages. The anti-drug commercials say slowing down your brain is bad. Maybe just leaving your brain alone is what they're saying? I don't know. "Perhaps we now have to accept there is an effect on the brain," Priest told a London conference on the health risks of phones. "The response time is improved because of stress proteins, which are switched on by a gene. This needs further research." Stress proteins are produced when body temperature rises, but Priest says they can also occur purely as a result of radio frequency signals when body temperature is normal. Other research from Sweden and Switzerland has indicated radiation from mobile phones, from cell phone calls, disturbs sleep. The World Health Organization said last week more research was needed before damage to health could be ruled out. All right, so, and even more normal, given the Dateline, this is a story from Australia. "Given that it pays her millions of dollars, you'd think teen star Britney Spears would find it easy to remember her sponsorship deal with Pepsi. So maybe it was the impact of what's been going on in the United States or the beauty of Sydney Harbor that led the American singer being photographed on a harbor cruise carrying a bottle of a soft drink made by Coke, competitor to Pepsi, of course. Pepsi is unhappy, although executives emphasized there was no proof that Spears had actually been drinking the contents of the bottle, which was 3/4 empty. "We understand there's a photo which has a competitor's product in the vicinity of Britney," said PepsiCo Australia's marketing director, Darren Borg. "We're not comfortable about the fact that that photo is out there." Where is out there? Everybody talks about, you know, there's a threat out there. There's a photo out there. Well, economic prospects out there. Where is that? However, he said Pepsi would not be taking any action against Spears. Sponsorship arrangements usually carry a requirement of exclusivity for the product. Mr. Borg says the matter has been taken seriously with details forwarded to U.S. headquarters. "We obviously sent all the details to management. We have looked at the photo closely." Coca-Cola would not say so, but it was obviously quietly pleased. "I've got no comment to make because the picture speaks for itself," says Coca-Cola head of communications Jeff Walsh. Whole story doesn't mention the name of the the beverage. It's just made by Coca-Cola. All right. Have to take that in. Base. But ladies and gentlemen, some things have changed. I don't know if you saw the All-Star Telethon Friday night, raising money for the victims and their families. I don't think that in the history of American show business, it would ever have been possible before to use the words tasteful and telethon in the same sentence. I'm sorry. It's possible to have niggles about moments in that show or to feel that maybe there were a few too many of the fat candles, you know, looked a little scented, looked a little like somebody was preparing for an Aleister Crowley ritual. But no announcer, no audience, no graphics, no brassy intro and outro music, no nothing. People just got up and sang and got out of there. No chyrons telling you who it was. If you didn't know who it was, okay, that's all right. And then there's this. As college and pro football return to television this weekend, the presentation of the broadcast will be a subdued and patriotic one, according to network executives and announcers. They've disclosed an approach to language that will attempt to avoid the war metaphors that are prevalent in football, and they're planning productions that will mute or eliminate percussive graphics, blaring music, and simulated football robots. For at least this week, ABC Sports will not open Monday Night Football with animated explosions or Hank Williams Jr.'s traditional rowdy song. Fox Sports will tame its famously trumpeting theme song. CBS Sports said it would use only patriotic music. Each network will turn down the volume on sound effects like the whooshing that leads into instant replays. In adopting a more sensitive approach, network sports divisions are following the lead of the entertainment industry, which has withdrawn movies and music videos and rewritten scripts. It's a fine line, says Dick Stockton. You don't want fans to feel ashamed or guilty, but you don't want to trivialize what's happening around us. So, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like it just takes a horrifying episode of mass murder to nudge American media off its addiction to tastelessness, doesn't it? But on the other hand, some things are back to normal. Here is the audience warm-up from last night's Miss America pageant.
Here is your obligation. You didn't get in here with nothing to do. Here's your job. We want every state to sound like New Jersey. So, hi, I'm Sally from Oregon. Hi, I'm Becky Sue from Indiana. That's what I'm talking. You don't need to rehearse anymore. That's wonderful. And don't forget about the roving cameras. They'll be looking around at everybody, especially behind these pedestals. Let me just tell you. You see this camera right here? It'll be shooting towards that pedestal where the people who came in late. Right. So you need to be smiling behind that. I wouldn't wave. You know, you don't want to look like the Today Show or Good Morning America. But I would be smiling and looking like you're having a great time. Now, I'm sure you'll be great for the first 10 states, and then you might get tired of yelling. Don't do that. You're being paid a lot of money to be here, and we want you to do your job. One note which I'll remind you of later, there is a quiz on stage. As you heard Regis Philbin talk about on his morning show, there is a quiz added to the show. We want you to be so quiet during that quiz, because it's very, very important that you not yell out any answers. You know that, right? All right. How many of you have ever been to a live television show before? Say, we have. Well, then you should be professionals, and I'm sure you will be. All right, we're going to get started here in exactly 8 minutes. I urge you to take your seats because you'll want to be looking good on camera. And we will not go late, you know. The show will start at 8 o'clock, I guarantee it. Let me remind parents of contestants, there will be a roving close-up camera, especially when your daughter does something. Try to look good. We're going to ask you all to sit down here because we won't be able to shoot our contestants, all right? Hello. Can you all sit down? Oh, you have cameras there. Good. All right, that's another element this year. It will look like paparazzi is all around each contestant. You're exactly right. And that's what these people are over here. So except for our camera people, everyone else should be seated. Now, don't forget, no matter what the state is, cheer for that young lady. Cheer for America. Don't waste it. Don't waste it.
America's carefree lifestyle is back.
Situations. Direct from the trading floor of Corium Slocum Oliver, this is Mind Your Own Business. I'm Mike Tuccinello, somewhere in New Jersey on the trading floor. Savvy investors headed for the hills this week as an already down-trending market took a steeper dive than anything Cousteau ever dreamed of. The World Trade Center tragedy spawned early wishful thinking about patriotic buying as the markets congratulated themselves on just being open. But soon the cold reality of investor jitters settled over traders, and round after round of sell-offs made it seem patriotic just to sit home with the TV off. 1999 and the giddiness of the new economy now suddenly seems like something from another century. But at times when looking straight ahead only offers a view of a stampede of bears, and it's the bulls that are hibernating, it helps to look to the future. Our guest today looks forward to doing just that. He's the Senior Vice President for Public Affairs of the National Brick and Mortar Association. Mr. Richard Portugal. Rich, welcome to the trading floor.
Mike, through the good graces of the real heroes, the New York City firemen, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, did you get rescued?
No, I was at home in White Plains at the time. I was just engaging in some heartfelt platitudinizing.
Well, we can all use more of that these days. Mm-hmm. Rich, your organization is the nation's leading representative of actual retail establishments, aren't they?
We represent grocery stores, discount megastores, convenience establishments, athletic wear superstores, just the whole gamut. And, Mike, I'm just glad to be able to report to you today that, to misquote Mark Twain for a moment, the demise of the brick-and-mortar retailer was premature.
The report of it was.
That, too. You know, a couple of years ago, we were the guys that, quote, didn't get it, unquote, electronic commerce was going to sweep through this country like killer bees on Viagra, and malls and shopping strips were going to become as vacant as a starlet on Politically Incorrect. Well, sir, I think we're all relieved right about now that things didn't turn out that way.
You believe that the e-commerce bust of last year was good for America?
I sure do, Mike. Mm. As catastrophic as last week's events were, just imagine how much worse they'd have been if we were depending on the Internet for our food, for our pet food, for our furniture, for our pet furniture, for just the whole
gamut?
Shooting match. Mm-hmm. But thanks to the good sense of the American consumer, retail business today is right where it belongs, close by the local store, whatever the locus of final ownership.
And this is good because why?
Well, because decentralization is the ultimate security. Mm-hmm. Ask anybody who has studied this, and it's just much harder to disrupt normal life that way.
Even though nowadays hundreds or even thousands of stores are all ordering through one central computer?
Whatever they order, they order. I'm just saying that America's brick-and-mortar retailers were proud to be there this week, and they'll be even prouder if American consumers are there next week.
But the Internet actually seemed pretty reliable during all this, Rich. Are you sure you're not sitting in a brick-and-mortar house casting stones?
Mike, email got through because Pets.com went out of business this year. You could access news sites because nobody was buying a three-piece bedroom suite from Furniture.com. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So-called e-businesses never paid taxes, and now I think everybody realizes that they may, and I emphasize may, and I emphasize they, too, that they may constitute a security risk that we just don't want to take at this particular time.
I noticed Mayor Giuliani said the one thing all Americans could do was to spend money.
That's right, Mike. And much as we'd like to, we can't all go to New York to spend it. But we can all get out to our local auto parts outlet and maybe buy an extra six-pack of fan belts, even if we don't need them right away. Or we can do some early Christmas shopping before everything goes on sale for 70% off, which, in all honesty, will happen. But still,
Rich, looking ahead, which we thought we might do, is the retail industry joining the airline sector in requesting succor from the feds?
Look, Mike, the fact that we hung in there, that we didn't fold our tents back in the days when the 20-year-olds were telling us that we didn't get it. Sure, that helped America, but we were glad to do it. If America feels grateful, we certainly could pay some employees, some vendors, spruce up some facilities, if those funds did come our way, no doubt about it.
All right, Rich, let's assume that the savvy investor can be persuaded to come out from under the bed. Would he find the retail sector in the stock market's bargain bin these days?
Well, assuming they don't continue to go down, the stocks of retail America have never been lower. You can buy Tiffany's at Target prices, literally.
Literally. Yeah.
Of course, if the e-commerce thing had succeeded, you couldn't afford to buy a digital photograph of Microsoft stock. So again, we think the country has dodged a very big bullet.
A very slow-moving bullet, as it turned out.
As it turned out.
Richard Portugal, thanks for making the National Brick and Mortar Association more than just a household word.
Thank you, Mike. And can I say, God bless America?
You sure can, Rich. You sure can. And that's Mind Your Own Business for this week. Until next time, when the economic patient gets another dose of pundit therapy, I'm Mike Tuccinello saying, this week, more than ever, mind the business of someone you love. So long.
There were soldiers marching on the common today. They were there again this evening. They paced up and down like seabirds on the ground. Before the storm clouds gathering, I must buy whatever tinned food is left on the shelves. They are testing the air raid sirens. They filled up the blood banks and emptied the beds at the hospital and the asylum. I saw a man build a shelter in his garden today. As we stood there idly chatting, he said, "No, no, I don't think war will come." Yet still he carried on digging. Everything in my life I love could be swept away without warning, yet the birds still sing and the church bells ring, and the sun came up this morning. Life goes on as it did. As the country drifts slowly to war,
it's a chiaroscuro kind of effect, don't you think, ladies and gentlemen? The latest news indicates, at least just before airtime here, that the Taliban are now saying that Osama bin Laden is missing. And they would like to question Congressman Gary Condit in regard to that. We'll keep you posted. Things have changed. Some things haven't. The most watched broadcast last week was still NBC. It was NBC's Tuesday night coverage of the disaster. But even though NBC drew more than 22 million viewers, ABC averaged 17, CBS 14, Fox 5, those large audiences will not go in the record books because the broadcast networks was without commercials. And Nielsen does not include non-commercial programming in its ratings. With more than half of the major networks' primetime programming last week without advertising, last week's ratings numbers, quote, became sort of meaningless, unquote, according to a Nielsen representative. That's right, because a lot of people watched and there weren't commercials, the high ratings are meaningless. Nielsen decided to expunge the week of September 10th through 16th from its primetime ratings records. So that week in ratings history, officially, does not exist. This week's apologies, as you know, Jerry Falwell apologized for blaming the liberals for the disaster. Bill Maher apologized for saying some U.S. military actions were cowardly. His televised comments Monday night prompted Sears and FedEx to cancel their advertising in the program, citing complaints they'd received from angry viewers. In a statement issued through his publicist, Maher said his views should have been expressed differently. In no way was I intending to say, nor have I ever thought, that the men and women who defend our nation in uniform are anything but courageous and valiant. And I offer my apologies to anyone who took it wrong. Maher made the reference while discussing past U.S. military campaigns. Quote, we have been the cowards lobbing cruise missiles from 2,000 miles away, he said. That's cowardly, contrasting that to the actions taken by the hijackers. And 4 concerts featuring music by the German avant-garde composer Karlheinz Stockhausen have been canceled following the composer's comments concerning the terrorist attacks. Asked at a press conference on Monday for his view of the events. Well, so you're asking for trouble if you ask Karlheinz Stockhausen what he thinks. He's a composer. He answered that the attacks were, quote, the greatest work of art imaginable for the whole cosmos. According to a tape transcript, he went on, quote, minds achieving something in an act we couldn't even dream of in music, people rehearsing like mad for 10 years, preparing fanatically for a concert, and then dying. Just imagine what happened there. You have people who are that focused on a performance, and then 5,000, I couldn't do that. By comparison, we composers are nothing. Artists, too, sometimes try to go beyond the limits of what is feasible and conceivable so that we wake up, so that we open ourselves to another world. Asked by a journalist whether he equated art and crime, Stockhausen replied, it's a crime because those involved didn't consent. They didn't come to the concert. That's obvious. And no one announced that they risked losing their lives. What happened in spiritual terms, the leap out of security, out of what is usually taken for granted, out of life, that sometimes happens to a small extent in art, too. Otherwise, art is nothing. Unquote. Before the press conference was over, Stockhausen had already distanced himself from those remarks. Those are this week's apologies. But there will be more. Plans for building new stadiums and arenas around the country, they're put on hold. And the president, ladies and gentlemen, the president is changed, according to some of his friends and advisors. They say he's wholly transformed in his sense of himself and his presidency. He's come face to face with his life's mission. But in private, he's still jocular and backslapping. In private, he might be receiving a phone call right about now.
Noble Eagle? Well, all of a sudden, you know the code words.
Let's trace this call, please.
Hey, 43, it's 41. You don't need
what's, to... What's your clearance code?
Well, you never gave me one. You said it was, I think these were your exact words, about as important as the rules telling you how they vote for the Oscars.
All right, 41, that was a different time, a different situation, a different me.
Yeah.
I haven't been this... this serious, this focused, this determined. That's the fourth time I quit drinking.
Listen, you don't have to tell me. Watched your speech, saw the difference. You were a man up there, boy.
Yeah. Karen Hughes said she thought I showed steely resolve. Those were her words, steely resolve. In my book, that's a home run.
Well, like I told you last week, if you cut down on the ad-libs and just stick to the text, it's amazing how serious you can sound.
I think in all fairness, my off-the-cuff remarks have been pretty on the cuff, you know. I only said this was a crusade once, and I understand that's offensive to certain people, but... only one offensive statement under all this pressure, you know. I'm doing a hell of a lot better than Jerry Falwell.
No, you are, and you got a good team.
Uh-huh.
Colin is seasoned.
Oh, he's great. Mm-hmm. Always counseling caution, you know. It's great to have one of those around.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us are sitting here trying to to swing for the fences. Calling is saying, just bunt the damn thing, you know. Good man, good man.
Yeah, Cheney's top notch, of course.
Oh, listen, when, you know, when we were deciding who to take to the bunker and who to fly around, you know, I said, hey, take Dick to the bunker. You know, he's our man. And I'll show you the kind of stuff he's made of. He agreed with me?
Yep. So, no, you're going to do this right. Just want to make sure you remember what Gorbachev said about fighting in the Afghan. It's like root canal that never ends.
I know. Empire of graveyards.
Graveyard of empires.
Yep.
So, build your coalition carefully.
Yeah, listen, question about that.
Uh-huh.
Saudi Arabia, in or out? What do you think?
Well, tough call. The conservatism of the regime is provocative to Islamic militants, but on the other hand, been a staunch friend.
I'm just pulling your leg. They're way in. You know, got to have a moment of levity along the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't worry, 41. I know you can be at 90% in the esteem of your countrymen one day and still lose the next election. I've never forgotten that.
Well, me neither.
So I'm not going to be satisfied with a stand-up triple, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay. But, look, here's one thing that you could do. We found worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
Drove Saddam Hussein nuts when I kept calling him Saddam.
Mm-hmm.
See, every time you call him Osama bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
you're wasting a genuine opportunity to tick the man off.
Call him Osama bin Laden, you mean?
Bin Laden, you know, and just a lot of possibilities, just something.
Okay, but generally, 41, not fishing here, you know, really want you to, you know, have you give it to me straight. I'm doing this pretty darn well, aren't I?
Yeah.
I mean, getting support from everybody from Tom Daschle to the president of Pakistan, showing, like I said, showing steely resolve in the speech. All the rest of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And yet, God bless him, Rudy Giuliani is batting in the cleanup slot. You know what I mean? He's the man.
He's the one getting all the kudos.
Oh, I don't mind that, but no, I do mind that if kudos are what I think they are.
They're plaudits.
That's right. Well, look, it does bother me. You know, I found my mission. I know my purpose. I've discovered my anointment.
And your time to shine will come, my friend.
Yeah.
Swear to God, just mispronounce bin Laden's name and you'll start having more of the heft of a Giuliani.
You think? I mean, I can't have as many press conferences as that man's having. I'm busy getting briefed.
Look, 43, it's easy for him to look strong. All he has to do to seem like he's doing something is ask you for money. You've got a war or something to run, you know. A little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit more challenging.
That's right.
He's at his peak. I'm still just embracing my destiny right now.
There you go.
Okay. I'll just visualize that and I'll be fine.
So look, gonna be a lot of pressure on you.
I know it. We're not playing this game between the lines.
Yeah. So, within the bounds of national security and not wanting to step on anybody's toes, if you want to bounce anything off of me.
I appreciate that, 41.
Yeah.
I will seek your wisdom, your patient counsel, your steely resolve, and I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
The next time a reporter tries to trap me and ask me who's the president of Pakistan, I'm ready for him.
You take good care, 43.
You too. Love to Barbara.
Thank you.
couple of media notes before we go. On CNN International, it's not America's new war. It's war against terrorism. And in Friday's New York Times, if you still have it around, a full-page ad, my favorite full-page ad of all the ones that have been bought by companies this week, shows an angry Statue of Liberty rolling up her sleeves and looking like a man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations. Maybe some of these same stations, the ones that aren't too chicken, ones that didn't preempt me this week. NPR, well, you know who you are. And it would be just like you getting me, oh, by the way, on the internet, www.harryshearer.com, www.kcrw.com, always there. It would be just like you being here next week if you'd agree to join me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions. It originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.